Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
Good morning, listeners. This is Jeannie, and I'm on the phone with my co-host and dear friend, Maxine. Good morning, Maxine.
Good morning, Jeannie. It's a beautiful morning in Portland.
It's a gorgeous morning in Portland. And we have a wonderful topic today, Maxine, about dads and parents' involvement with their teens, but mostly dads' involvement with their teens. And our guest is Debbie Hitchcock of Greater Impact. She's the operations director, trainer, and speaker for Daughters of Sarah course, and she coaches moms who are struggling in their parenting. After 13 years of human resources experience with companies such as GE and American Hospital Supply Corporation, Debbie decided to start her own training and consulting firm. She's a speaker to women's groups at weekends and blogs at debbiehitchcock.com. Debbie and her husband Dave have been married since 1978 and have 4 grown children, and she lives in Ohio. And it looks like she's decided to talk about dads, to switch that focus. Debbie, why did you decide to do that, start talking about dads? That's what your book, 365 Ways to Love Your Family, Practical Tips for the Dads of Tweens and Teens. Why did you switch to talking about dads, Debbie? Did you see the need was so great?
Well, you know, the way it works, Jeannie, is the, you know, moms are so involved in the day-to-day. And I don't know about you, but I grew up with 5 brothers. And when I worked in corporate America, I was always with men. So I kind of get the men piece of it sometimes, even more so than the women piece. But I would talk to moms that are just pouring their heart out, and they're saying, I just wish my husband had a relationship with my child. And it just breaks my heart because I know how important that piece of the puzzle is. Dads need to be involved, and I think a lot of times dads just don't know how to be involved.
Yeah, I
you
think
make
that's
a really
huge
good
problem.
Point, Debbie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is amazing. I see this a lot with step family involvement, where the dad holds back even more. But I do have friends and whose dads don't get involved with the parenting and in a very healthy way, or they just want to pass out rules instead of relationship. So why is a dad's involvement with his children so important, and what is to be gained by it?
Well, the thing that's important in this process is that men need to know that what they do is going to have impact. If you think about it on a regular basis, they are in a situation where they're at work, they're trying to get things accomplished, and then suddenly they're thrust into the home situation and they're supposed to, they're wired to fix things, so they're ready to fix their family.
You know, I think it's also hard to leave a situation, to leave one world and come home to another world. So you're thinking about, you just said it, you know, he wants to fix it there and come home and fix, and that is partly his job. But what do you think is the main part of his job with his kids?
You know, the thing that he needs to be doing is being a relational architect in terms of trying to connect with those kids in a way that they respect him, also respects them as individuals. A lot of times dad comes in, and what I typically see is dad falling in one of two sides of the pendulum. Either dad is, oh, let's go have fun, and yet mom becomes the disciplinarian, or dad comes in, takes the family and goes, okay, these are the rules, and yet he's not in it all the time on a day-to-day basis, and leaves mom there to implement the rules that he has said, this is the way it's going to be.
So how is this going to start? Where does a dad start who doesn't know how to be involved?
Well, one of the reasons I wrote the book, 365 Ways, is because what that does is that allows dad to actually have something that he can read. It's going to take him 5 seconds and go, oh, I can do that. Simple things that you don't realize most of your parenting is caught, not taught. And it's how you interact with your kids. And it may be something as simple as, ruffling their hair. All that says is, hey, I'm glad you're here. It may be something like get involved in doing the dishes together. Oh, we're a team. We're working together to make this happen.
So do you actually have 365 of those suggestions?
There are more than 165.
Okay, good.
Yeah. If dad opens up this book, and like I said, it can be very, very simple. Part of modeling is also modeling how to treat mom. So as dads, they need to understand that how they respect their wife, do they give their wife a hug when they walk in the door? Mom's had a hard day too. Is there interaction? Those are the things that the kid sees. If dad comes in and is telling mom, oh, you didn't do this today, and why haven't you handled this, then if that negative talk, the kids are going to pick up on it, and they're going to start it. And then all of a sudden, instead of mom feeling like she's, trying to respect and do things for one person, her spouse, suddenly now she's thrust into all of her kids making demands on her as well.
So why do many teens withdraw from their parents and seem to want nothing to do with them? How do you find that balance back?
Well, a lot of it is getting into their world. Teens naturally pull away at this stage of the game. But if we are being interested in the things that they're interested in, if we are opening up conversation, apologizing when we blow it, they see us as human and vulnerable. And with that vulnerability, we become safe for them.
Do you think they want parents in their lives when they become teens and tweens?
Absolutely. If you have read any of Shanti Feldhahn's research, where she has gone out and actually interviewed these kids, they will very much say, I want mom and dad there. They need that rudder in their life. Mm-hmm. They're in a place where they're trying to find out who they are. And in doing that, mom and dad are the stabilizer.
Yeah, I honestly believe this is true because I was watching a documentary on 60 Minutes last night, and they were featuring troubled kids, and they said the one thing that's most important is relationships that feel safe rather than what did you do wrong today, And talking about that, they want them to talk about their experiences, and these kids are coming out of the traumas that they've dealt with because they're feeling like they're in a space where it's safe to come out of it and adults are safe. And I know a lot of the families today are broken, and even the ones that aren't don't have time anymore to, or they don't feel they have time, they don't make time. So what does the father interacting with a child in a healthy way say about their character and values?
Well, what that's saying is that, you know, I'm willing to spend time with you, first of all. Because one of the things that the studies are showing is that dad spends less than 7 minutes a day on average with their kid. So that 7 minutes needs to have impact.
Is
now,
that seven
granted,
minutes
you know,
with each individual? 7 minutes with each individual child or 7 minutes with the group?
That's, well, 7 minutes that that child is seeing them. So it can be in a group. It could be at dinner. You know, let's grab something to eat real quick and head out.
Yeah.
So when you think about 7 minutes a day on average, you want, as a dad, I would think you would want to be modeling what does respect look like? What does relationship look like? What does this family need? And it's interesting because, you know, men actually need significance and they need relevance. And they want to do the right thing. They just don't want their wife or their kids to think they're an idiot.
Well, and that is
so does
good.
Your book help does your book help them be more intentional, Debbie? That's what I'm feeling like you're saying. They have to think about what they're doing and do it right.
Right. You know, it's anything from spending time with them. You know, my husband tells the story of, you know, he got to spend time with his dad as long as it was doing what his dad wanted to do.
Yeah.
So my husband didn't like fishing. His dad liked to fish, so they would go fish all the time. And what we're saying is, hey, take a look at that. If your child is interested in, say, tennis, can you get out on the court and try to swing a few balls, you know, hit a few balls with him? It doesn't have to be always on dad's terms.
Yeah, that's a good point, really good point.
Yeah.
So in today's world, we've got all this cell phone stuff in our hands all the time. You mentioned perhaps a dad should send texts during the day. Now, most dads kind of get busy and are in their work world during the day. How would that help?
Well, a kid needs to know that dad's out there, even though he's not physically with them. And, you know, I know when my kids were younger, my husband traveled quite a bit. And so if he's out of town, sending a text message, knowing what's on the kid's schedule is really important. You know, are they having a tryout? Is there a big test? What can you do to connect with that child in their world? A 2-second text is, you know, good luck at tryouts.
Yeah.
It's a connection point.
Debbie, you had a lot of conversation with teens when you were preparing for this book. What are some of the things that they say about dads?
They will tell me, most of them, that dad doesn't care. My dad really doesn't care what I do. And that to me is so sad because I know that dads do care. I just don't think dads know how to relay that to the kids.
I think that really is true in a lot of cases.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah. And I hear from moms. Moms will say, oh, well, I can't do that. You know, if we're trying to coach moms to have better relationships with their kids, and I will hear from them, you know, dad's not involved or they don't have a very good relationship. They're always yelling at each other. And it's like, oh, my goodness, we want so much for dad and son especially to connect, and dad and daughter. That is so important. And as they get to the place where they're ready to leave the nest, their choices are going to be based on how they've learned relationship.
Yeah, and whether those are healthy. So tell me, Debbie,
exactly.
you work with women, write for women most of the time.
Yes.
Yet this book is focused on dads. So how do the women, how do you get the women you write to and you focus on in your targeted audience to be interested in this dad book? What do you tell them?
Well, I think there's a lot of things in this book that mom can do as well if she takes it and flips it and says, this is how I can interact with my husband. This is how I interact with my teens. But I think the key, a lot of times dad doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know where to start. And sometimes it takes the wife to say, honey, you know, I noticed that you don't have a great relationship with Ryan right now. You know, he's really struggling. What can we do? How can I help you fix that relationship?
Okay. Would you give us an example of one of the things that is in this book? You know, we'd like our listeners to relate to your book in a way that they want to go get it and bring it home for their families and start putting it into use. So what is, you know, let's say like number 47 or something. What would number 47 be? Something like that, you know?
Well,
maybe that's not fair
says,
to throw a number at you.
Well, that's okay.
Get
for
it
example,
right.
One of them says be available when your kids are doing homework. How many times is a teen or tween sitting at home, they're struggling with their homework, mom's fed up because kid's not doing the homework, and the real reason is because the kid doesn't understand math or geometry or trig or calc, and mom doesn't, mom's scratching her head too. And there are times that, you know, just a gentle, hey, how's homework going? What can I help you with? So just being available during some of those times. You know, another thing is, are you praying with your kids? Do you ask your kids, you know, what can I pray for you for? How's life going? And is there anything specific that's important? Just
how
knowing.
Often would you have them ask their children that?
About praying for them?
Yeah.
You know, it can be daily. It can be once a week. It can be every couple weeks. It doesn't matter. A lot of it depends on what it's like for your family. You know, I can tell you that we happen to be a family that one of our things that we always did with our kids is at night, we would all hop in our, you know, my husband and my bed, and we would pray together. And they would lay across the bed, and, you know, it was one of those tender times.
Nice.
But I could say, what is it, you know, what is it we can be specifically praying for you?
Yeah.
My kids came home from college.
I did it daily, too. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a ritual.
That puts a safety net around them. I really think they feel protected and more cared for when they know it's beyond you into God's hands, too, that's watching over them. I find that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So those are just, you know, those are a few things. You know, one of them is find something that you can do together. And sometimes that takes mom to help dad figure out what that thing is. You know, if dad's a fix-it kind of guy, then, you know, hey, you know, I noticed you've got this project. You're going to work on this. Why don't you teach Danny to, you know, use the saw or whatever it is, just to connect them on something that's not, you know, with our kids, we tend to be transactional. They walk in the house after school, put your shoes away, get your homework done, do this. And even as dads, dads tend to do the same thing.
What do you think women would most want their husbands to know about parenting and raising teens? How do they want their help? What do they want their reactions to be and their instructions and their interrelationship things?
Most moms that I talk to want dad to be involved with the kids. And it varies depending on the family. But the thing that moms will tell me is they just want them to have a good relationship. They want them to do things together. They want to feel a connection between dad and their children that is not always just fun, but can also be serious. And, you know, there have to be consequences at times. And it's kind of interesting because one of the things that came up in a group of women that I was leading is that they had used this idea of wait till your father gets home.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're setting dad up for the wrong relationship during the tweens and teens.
Yeah,
because
then they build this fear of dad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so there isn't a connection.
Yeah, that's
unfair.
And
we do it not thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Do it because you need help.
Yeah.
And that's not good. You're right. Yeah.
The thing that's important
we're starting to run a little bit out of time. Do you have some special things that you wanted to ask Debbie? Listeners, we're talking with Debbie Hitchcock about her book, 365 Ways Plus to Love Your Family, Practical Tips for Dads of Teens and Tweens. And I haven't said that book right a single time, but you can get it if you go 365 Ways to Love Your Family, Practical Tips, Debbie Hitchcock. So, Maxine, do you have some questions for Debbie? And
I guess
Debbie,
I've,
do you want
I've
to
got
tell
another
us where to
one
find?
Because,
okay.
As far as the women are concerned, because sometimes when, as a mom, you see a man, your husband, the father of your children or the stepfather of your children, come in and he's going about this in ways that you don't approve of. And even if you haven't said, wait till your dad gets home, which I never did, but some of the habits of being more authority than relational kick in. How does the woman, the mom, the wife, go about encouraging or dropping hints without making the husband feel like he's being overridden by her to interact with the kids?
Mm-hmm. Great question. And the thing that we teach at Greater Impact is that as a wife or as a mother, our job is to have influence. And influence, it has to do with how you handle it in the heat of the moment. And if you can handle it with respect during that one time, you have the conversation later. You know, hon, this afternoon when we had that problem with Johnny, I'm wondering if there might not have been a better way to handle it. Would you mind if I share some thoughts about that? So you've respectfully asked your husband, you know, I really think that, you know, the fact that it needed to be handled differently is probably obvious because it didn't go so well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've respectfully asked him, how can I make it better for you next time? Most men want our help if we can handle it respectfully.
Yeah. And I think that's the key to it, how to show enough respect to where you appreciate them stepping in to do what they could and then trying to drop hints, but not, I guess keeping your mouth shut as a woman once in a while is going to be helpful.
Well,
there you go, Maxine.
Not so the child feels that you are putting down and disagreeing with the dad's ideas.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a conversation later, even where, you know, something, you know, terrible has just transpired between dad and the child. And, you know, you've kind of witnessed it, but you're trying to keep your mouth shut because that's the respectful way to handle it. It's coming back to the child later and say, you know, honey, I'm really sorry that happened with dad. That was kind of ugly, wasn't it? And being able to empathize with him and let him know, you know, none of us are perfect. None of us get it right all the time. But, you know, I'm just really sorry that that happened. And know that I'm really praying that your dad will see you differently. Just to let your child know that I'm on
your
side.
Down a little bit. Don't you think that puts his dad down, is a little bit disrespectful to his dad, going back to him and saying that about his dad?
Well, I think if it's, you know, sometimes we fail to talk about the elephant that's in the room.
Yeah.
And so that piece of it means that the child thinks, okay, dad and mom are married, so therefore mom must agree with dad. A lot of it depends on how old the kid is, but they need to see us as united but separate.
Yeah.
Okay. Good
point, Debbie,
because
Sorry, Jeannie. No, go ahead.
I have had to do that with my kids, and as they were in their, you know, early teen years and such, when they were being treated a bit unfairly. But at the moment, I didn't interfere with what was taking place, but I would tell them later, you know, that wasn't good, but Daddy wasn't walking as Christ would have him. Then let's pray for him. And then what could you do different? Speaking to the teen, what could you do differently that might bring about a better result the next time? Not just talking to my husband, but also talking to the teen. And I found good results. And my kids did not pull away from me in their teen years. And so for me, I feel blessed that that didn't happen. But I did struggle with the parenting between dad figures and mom figure in that and the relationship. And so I'm really glad this is a book that is written to bring this some help to the parenting, and especially toward dad's understanding and the relationships, because they're not easy. A lot of dads were raised by harsh parenting themselves and don't understand any other way, but we don't want to perpetuate that style into our own families. We want to stop it and do more Christ-like parenting. So thank you, Debbie, for bringing this about.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your book, and thank you for coming on the show, Debbie. We've really enjoyed having you. And listeners, we hope you'll go out and get Debbie's book. We're out of town now, so we're out of time now. I'm in town, out of time.
We'll see
you at the same time next week, listeners. Debbie, thank you so much.
Thank you, and they can get the book at Greater and...
This is Tom Fuller
Greater
saying
Impact.
Thank you for
thank
joining
you.
Us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.